Episode number 221 of the Tartan Running Shorts podcast, hosted by Lewis Walker, Tom Bryan, myself, Kyle Gregg. So guys, this is one point of my year. This was my target time, 221. But I'm far from that these days. But anyway, I don't know. That's what we're talking about, process goals. Maybe I didn't follow my process goals. I was sprinkling some fairy dust. But anyway, it's not about me, because we've got two young tanned looking blokes in front of me who look like they've had a cracking weekend in the sun there. Yeah, to be fair, it looks like Tom's I think he's been wearing sunglasses all weekend, because he looks a bit looks like he's been taken from the zoo. So yeah, I better watch these insults, because yeah, we've got a jam-packed episode, folks. We've got a bit of news as well. Will we get straight to it, Tommy? Do you want to announce the sad news? And so, you know, most people, it will be sad.
Not sure
news.
It's sad.
Maybe 1%. It's would be
people. You're gonna get people worried here, Kyle. There's no sad news. But so this is my last TRS. I've been mulling this over for a month or two. I caught up with Kyle last week and just. Yeah, there's partly, I guess partly I'm feeling more and more guilty of not being able to put the time into it that I should be. And as a result, that's letting down not only Kyle and Lewis, but also letting down listeners. So I will be stepping back now. It's more of a au revoir rather than a goodbye. I think that probably covers it. 221 episodes in, it's not bad. Innings,
wow,
really?
There is stats. 6 years. We talked about as six we years. Were going for in the quotations an easy run, which definitely wasn't an easy run.
It wasn't an easy run, no.
Tommy says he was in awful shape, and he was chatting away while I was beaving it.
Come
behind
on,
too.
I was hanging onto Kyle's coattails uphill. Affair. It was. Then we got back. I thought we went up straight back down, got back to the car, and Kyle's like, should we just run a bit further? And in my head, I'm thinking, I'd been hanging on to the end, and then he wants to throw an extra mile.
So, that mile wasn't very fun, though, was it? It was like this new sort of newly carved trail at the side of Hill of Fair. And it was, I don't know, it must be a big loop now, but I ended up going up back up the hill again. I was like, right, screw this. Let's turn back and go back to the car. Which we could have ran back up the Hill of Fair, the amount of chatting we did point. So
it was good. It was good. I haven't been up the Hill of Fair. I looked back. I haven't been up it since 2019, by the looks of it. So it was really good to get up pre-COVID. So it was good to get back up. There's a lot of trees gone down since I've run up there. Seems to be the theme running in the Northeast. If you haven't run somewhere in months or years, you go back and all the trees are gone.
All these Storm Darwins and Arwins and whoever else.
I think it's woefully being cut down, and they kind of leave them with, you know, the occasional kind of half stripped tree standing forlornly there, and then a bunch of kind of debris in the ground. It's even happening up here in Murray.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a bit of Spey Bay that's got no trees left. They're all just like, it's awful. But anyway, back to the point. So Tommy, six years it's been, if you add all the episodes that we've been rambling for, it's literally months probably of rambling.
Oh, it must be.
Non-stop rambling. So folk, anyone who's sad that
there's an archive of footage
which I'm sure you won't get bored of if you do need a Tommy Kyle fix there, or just a Tommy fix probably.
Exactly. Or you could do what I do. If you're ever having a bad day, just go back and listen to us talk about what's his name, who's his gusset was the stained gusset, which is a highlight.
Finlay,
yeah. I think that is the only time there was about 20 seconds of silence on air because neither of us could speak for laughing. So thank you, Finlay, for that memory.
Yeah, uncontrollable laughter. Like, you know, when you're absolutely in the assembly and you try not to laugh, but you just
in assembly,
have to laugh.
That's going back a bit memory wise, isn't it? When were you last in an assembly?
The Christmas assembly for Logan's.
Oh, I just forgot all your kids. Oh,
okay. Yeah. Do you know they still do assemblies? They do. Wow. They do assemblies still, but they just don't sing Christian songs anymore. It's all about just other songs. I don't know. They've got the Afford Academy and Afford Primary School. They've got their own theme tune, a bit like Club La Santa's theme tune. The Afford have got their own one. How cool is that? So they sing that every week or something. Anyway, but we're completely rambling here a bit. I'm drying up, like I've done 221 episodes, but you know, I personally, you know, I'm sad to see Tommy go. You know, certainly the banter will be missed, but I'm sure, you know, like you say, you're not going to be we know where you live, and I'm sure we'll be I'm sure they'll be
threatening.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm sure we'll be shorting guests quite often, so we'll pull you back in when we need to, eh?
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, and I will always welcome a WhatsApp from TRS saying, do you fancy jumping on? So yeah, and you know, and again, let's if we'll see how in the future, you never know. But yeah, I want to put a bit more time into running, and yeah, just that's it. So but yeah, I'm very sad to be stepping back, actually, because I thoroughly enjoy catching up with you guys on it. It's good crack. Nothing makes a race more at the start than when someone comes up and gives you a hello. I'll still never forget standing in the pen for the Boston Marathon, someone saying, are you Tom from TRS? That was just absolutely golden. And even recently at the Balmoral 10K, which I've not talked about yet, but to have a chap who's Mark Beagrie, he came up to me and said, Tom, tell Kyle to start pronouncing my name right. Which was golden. A guy I've never met before in the flesh. So that was pretty cool. And he had his tartan shorts on, to be fair.
He wears his tartan running shorts more than anyone I know.
Yeah,
and his
big respect.
God knows how what colour his gusset is, the amount of times he wears it. Tommy just almost spat his beer there. He's drinking.
Yeah. White gusset is a disaster, by the way. We did that half marathon in Wilmslow, we're staying at our in-laws. I was so embarrassed with the state of the gusset. I had to put it into a plastic bag and not.
Oh, no.
My mother-in-law was asking if I've got any clothes for washing. We're down there for the week. This is at the start of the week. Those shorts, I just couldn't bring myself to hand them over to go
Jesus
to her wash.
They must have grown legs and walked themselves into the wash.
I wouldn't have had that problem with a black gusset. Like,
was the thing, though. The gusset,
what I mean.
the test shorts we got, they had a black gusset, so we're like, brilliant, black gusset, no issues if you shit yourself, or whatever else you do.
Yeah,
and no,
or even just
they,
sweat too
gave
much.
Us white
I mean,
ones.
Many things that can go wrong.
I'm sure you even fed it back. Can you give us a black gusset this time, please? And they gave us white.
What are they thinking?
Just to piss us off. So anyway,
I would like to think that someone from Ron Hill has listened and appreciates that. The sort of the banter around that, and is deliberately providing runners of Scotland with a white gusset,
but
unlikely to be the case.
Yeah, do you know what? We're still getting sales through, so we are down to our last couple of shorts, folks. So if you do want a pair of TRS shorts, they are literally limited edition, £25 postage and packaging, and that goes to keep the show alive. So there you go. It pays for a SoundCloud subscription. And Lewis's dictaphone.
Important.
It's the only thing we spent stuff on it. So,
but it's it's not just sad news this week. It's Scottish Running Week.
It's Scottish Running Week.
You're more qualified than us to speak about.
So basically, with Scottish Running Week, folks, it is a celebration of running in Scotland. Basically, what it says on the tin. The upside to that is. Everything in Scottish Running Week, if there's an event that's taken place, be it an organised event by a club or a club run or something, or on Friday we had the Tales of the Track and Trails, which was hosted by Athletics Trust Scotland, as well as University of Edinburgh Sport at Peffermill Playing Fields. Jasmine Paris was one of the interviewees, and Ailey Doyle. And Joanna Robertson, who's a wheelchair athlete up at Aberdeen Athletics Club, as well as a podcast, another podcast interviewee, Alice Goodall. So I was there or supporting the organization of it, 100 odd people taking part, an engaged audience, a fantastic night. It was an amazing night. What I will say is we have got a Zoom recording of the actual the night. So if anyone is interested to get that recording to listen through, what to do is it's £5 if you go to Athletics Trust Scotland /donate and put SRW24, we will send you the recording of the evening, which is hugely inspiring. It was really good to be part of. So anyway, Scottish Run Week, that was our pre-launch, the night, the Tales of the Track and Trails. And today, Monday evening, is the first day of Scottish, or official day of Scottish Running Week. We've got lots of things happening. We've got clubs across Scotland, groups, organisations, workplaces are doing their bit. It can be absolutely anything. Some clubs are organising a race. A big shout out to Inverclyde AC and our friendly rivals, Scottish Running Podcast, are organising a 7K trail race. The Lochor Trail Race on Wednesday night. Yours truly and Gary Roadrunners and this Wednesday coming are organising a 5K handicap. And Friday, TRS might be there with our dictaphones doing a cheeky little interview with some of the runners taking part, and there'll be a cheeky wee raffle as well at registration for the Beach 10K runners. And on Saturday, West End Roadrunners are doing a park run mob match with Garscube Harriers. And on Sunday, there's going to be an Aberdeen mural run as well. So there's lots of stuff happening. So if you do want to find out a little bit more about what's happening in Scottish Running Week, go to the website, scottishrunnerweek.com. If you want to get involved, you can, just encourage your club or your group that you run with to simply run and take a selfie and show us your run, and donate £5, and you'll also get to the video of the tales and trails event as well. So yeah, we're looking to raise.
There's a recurring theme here, Kyle, about donating. Yeah, do this, donate that. Where do the donations go? What are you helping out?
It's supporting disadvantaged communities who don't have the same sort of. They don't split. You put me in the spot, and I've slipped up here.
I didn't mean to ask you a question you couldn't answer.
Dare you ask him about his job?
Fundraising manager can't even put two sentences together. Jeez, oh.
Let's delete that then.
I just keep in. It's fine. It's part of the podcast, isn't it? No, the whole idea is to raise funds for disadvantaged communities who don't have the access that most people do, represented individuals in the sport have in terms of athletics and running provisions. So the funds that will go to organizations who are looking to increase representation in the sport. So people, clubs, organizations that support people with disabilities, people in poverty or in low income families, those in ethnically and culturally diverse communities. Some of the groups that we supported in the past have been a charity that delivers a Jog Scotland session in the prison, in the HMP Grampian prison, to the inmates, which I've had the pleasure of being part of. We've also got athletics clubs who've part of their network. They've got a frame running group. They've got a para athletics group. So we provide financial support for them, give equipment, power equipment, wheelchair, facility hire for children in deprived areas, after school clubs in deprived areas who are looking to do some program delivery as well. So yeah, lots of and the thing is, it's incredible how much demand there is for that sort of stuff in Scotland. It's quite scary, actually. So that's where the money will go to. So it's Transforming Lives grant fund. and that's actually open just now. So if there's any group or organization that are looking to apply for any funding, I'm sure people who are listening know of people, please go to our website, athleticstrustscotland.org.uk/funding, and you'll be able to see how to apply. So yeah, lots of good coming out of it, that's for sure. So
that's brilliant.
So yeah, thanks for the opportunity to tell them about the giant. I got there eventually, didn't I?
Well, you certainly took the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Kyle, and ran with it.
Yeah. A shout out to Mark Beagrie again. I probably completely slaughtered his name there again, but his club, Peterhead Athletics Club, are doing something as well this week too. Aberdeen Athletics Club are even doing a fun run next week as well. So there's lots of good things happening. So thank you for everyone for doing their part. Much appreciated.
Great.
Brilliant. Thanks for coming on the show, Mark. That was fantastic. Tommy and Lewis never got a chance to hear the interview. I'm sure Tommy might listen back, but it was awesome to have you on the show, Mark. And yeah, you've got an exceptional story and you're certainly a great ambassador for the sport.
Mark has a great blog. Anyone who's interested, I would look up Mark's blog. I can't remember if Tom had the address to it, but it's a really interesting blog. And actually, particularly from like age group perspective, Mark's been successful. And I, you know, since he's moved up through the various sort of masters categories, and I found it really a really great read. He had a really good blog last week about last year about the national road relays and how much it meant to him to medal in the Cambuslang team. And you know, I find it particularly inspiring there's, as you move up through those age categories, there's new opportunities to compete at. So,
and we were talking about
worth checking out.
We had our run there, our slog up the hill on last week. We were like, oh shit, we're gonna be a veteran next year, Lewis. Both Tommy and I are gonna be over 40. Yep.
Well, real and vets, not the pretend vet category of 35 and over, but the real vet 40.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't believe in the V35 or M35, whatever you call it. I just don't think it's, you know, Kipchoge's a master. He's a master of the sport anyway. But so it did remind us to talk about 40 things I'm going to do before I'm 40. And it's a mix of non-running things and running things, probably. Probably less
things. You're not going to bloody well tell us them all tonight, are you?
No. God, I've got no idea what one of them is. I put a pin in that, that's for sure.
Nice.
But what I will say is, you know, we just had an interview with Mark. I actually did I had my dictaphone out on Saturday. When I did.
So what race did you do? Tell us, what race were you doing?
So I did the, you know, it's always, usually you guys would say, so Kyle, what did you do at the weekend? But I'm going to give myself the
this is the Ellen Park here. I'm going to be really, really underwhelmed.
No, so because I was down in Edinburgh, we stayed in Edinburgh because it was a late travel back home. So we're like, well, let's just stay in Edinburgh. And we haven't got the kids because so why don't we see what's about, you know, what's taking place near Edinburgh? So there's a Saltire trail races. Have you heard of that before?
No.
Heard of Saltire trail race? So it's actually I can't mind where the hell it's a funny. It's basically it's where what's the name of the place? Athelstaneford. Have you heard of that place?
Not in the way you pronounce it.
Yeah, exactly.
I've completely butchered it. Probably I should have got my good old
let me
voice.
See what Google can tell me about.
Word to voice to pronounce it well.
Athelstaneford. I've never heard. It. I think you pronounced it phonetically on the money.
I think
East Lothian.
It's the birthplace of Scotland, the Saltire flag. Who would have known that? It's just a little. It's like got about 20 houses in it. It's tiny. So they did a cheeky wee 10K trail race there, and sort of lined up, and so did the better half. And we I went off, the gun went, and off I popped. There's a guy called Ewan, what was his name?
Near Haddington, for listeners who don't know where Athol Stainford is.
Yeah. So I went off, and I was in second place for most of the race. I was like, I'm not getting this guy. Ewan Martin, I think his name is. Do you know who Ewan Martin is, Lewis?
No.
He's quite a useful 1500 meter runner back in this day, a 350 guy. Didn't know him.
Can't no offense to Ewan if you're listening, but Kyle's talking you up as a useful heavyweight.
Yeah. But like, the actual race was just round fields. So I thought the state would be nice, carved trails, and but it was just these ratted fields around rape, you know, the rape crops you get. And I was like, oh God, this is going to be tough. And it was a, you know, brutal conditions, Tommy, brutal conditions, savage brutal. Rather.
Savage.
It was up and down hills. It was a bit like a cross country race, but with the just being kind of plowed fields and stuff. And the guy, like Ewan, was maybe about 100 meters ahead of me. He just took off in the hill, and I got to, like, I was like, oh, well, that's it. He's got me. I'm not going to catch him. I'll settle for my second place. My, you know, first place is £100, by the way. Second place, you get a little medal. That's it. So I was like, ah, oh, just get a little trophy. That'll be it. That's not going to cover my expense, petrol to the race. So, but then he bonked. I don't know what happened to him, but he just imploded. And I was like, I'm catching him, you know. 2 miles to go, and I was like, I'm getting closer to him, and I'm getting closer to him. So I put the rocket boosters on, went from 8 minute miles to 7 minute miles, and off I went shooting right past him. I did, and I left him for dead. And then I was
I'm amazed because I'm looking at his power of 10 here, and he's you're right, he's run 153 for 800, 350 for 15, 849 for 3K.
Yeah,
that's well inside your best, yeah, but absolutely. I think he struggles a bit at 5 miles and 10K. So it's probably the endurance factor that.
I think he got those, in his defense, he got those PBs about a decade ago. So
what I love is you, Cal, saying, I think he used to be a useful 1500 meter runner. You only know because you looked him up in power and down after the race.
I didn't know his name when I was like, his name's Ewan. He didn't tell me his surname, and there was an issue with the results, so I didn't know until later. So I had to check, because it gives me I think he did the East District Champs in December, and he did beat me, because I think he was 38th or something. So I was like, if he's the same level of fitness, if he's the same level of fitness now, and I beat him by 40 seconds, that means I'm a lot quicker than I was then. So I'm just giving. Anything these days, any little ounce of spark where I could potentially make a comeback, I'll take it. So it did fill me with a lot of confidence, and it was really nice to go from well behind to push on and get the win there. I know it's a low key race, hey ho, but every race is, you know, you never know who turns up at these races.
How did it feel not to break 40 minutes?
Do you know what? Like, it was actually quite. It was. I would have if the course was exactly 10K. So, you check my.
How much longer was it then?
You check my Strava, and you'll find it's all in the Strava, eh? Accurate.
I was getting. I was getting absolutely ripped for running 37 minutes at Balmoral as recently. So I'm quite enjoying seeing Cal go north of 40 minutes.
I'll give you a comparison. So, Debbie, that Gordon Castle trail race, Debbie was 39 minutes, and I was 36 minutes there, so she was only 3 minutes behind me. This time, I was 40 minutes, so I was slower than her at the Gordon Castle trail race. I was 40 minutes, and she won. She also won, so two wins for the Greg Squared there. She was 46 minutes, and I was 40, so I beat her by 6 minutes this time, which... So I'm 3 minutes faster than I was 2 weeks ago.
When are you going to stop beating your wife?
Bravo.
To be fair,
yeah, I've got it on your Strava, pal. It was six, you're claiming it was 6.44 miles, and you were running, I know at 2 speedy, 6:19 per mile.
But you know what? The Strava doesn't tell the full story, does it?
Well, you know, it was a 486 foot elevation gain, so that tells a wee bit. That tells a wee bit of a story.
Well, a wee bit, but it was brutal. It was savage, as Debbie would have said.
It's quite interesting, Kyle, because you went 6 minutes for your first mile, and then you were into the 5:40s, 5:50s, and then a bit of uphill, 6:50, and then a crack at 8:06, but that was significantly more uphill. And then you finished with a 5:38. That must have been getting the bit between the teeth on the 152-foot drop in that mile. And then you're 0.4 running.
and that was submerged in this massive puddle it was. I was about 4:50 per mile that time. My last mile. Anyway. Yeah. So it was a long time
since you've done 4:50.
It's a very long time.
You know, Kyle, you can only beat what's in front of you. So well done. You've done
that.
No offense, Ewan, but that's a great result.
He took it by the balls, he did. And
A family show, lads. Come on.
Family show. Oh, boy. Anyway, well, that was my story. And what I will say is that we ended up going to Travelling. Was that Travelling? Premier Inn it was. And I'm only going to say this because
this is my
non-running rant. So it was like 130 quid in the East End of Edinburgh. That was the cheapest we could find near where we were, where our evening was. And I went into the room. Debbie has a shower. It's okay, it's clean. Well, kind of clean. Yeah. She has a shower, and then she comes out of the shower. I go in the shower, and I was like, I can only see one towel here. So I was like, I'll just use Debbie's towel. So I started drying myself with the towel, and then I come out of the shower. Debbie's already got that towel, because we just got into the room at that point. I was like, Debbie, whose towel is this? It's not my towel. I was like, oh, no. The cleaners didn't clean the room. So that was the guests from the previous night early in the day. And then I was like, what's that? What's that yellow stain on the bed? I was like, oh no.
No.
It was nasty. So nasty.
Did you get your money back?
I don't know. Here's my complaint card. Look, I had to send this code to the whoever else. Guest relations or whatever.
Probably didn't take a black light over that bed.
I can show you my complaint. It's like so I came out the shower and realized what happened, and then I rewashed myself.
Dear.
That was a lie, because I never rewashed myself. I only discovered I didn't rewash myself.
I look at the guilt across your face when you realize you couldn't live with that lie.
When I wrote the complaint, I thought, shit, I never did rewash myself. I was too humiliated and violated after what happened. Anyway, sorry, folks. I had to this tartan running shorts.
And, what, in case a listener was in the room before you?
Well, I don't know who or what it was, but, oh, God. I can only imagine it was someone who was clean when they dried himself with that towel. That's all I can think about. Yeah. That's
shocking.
What they
used
the towel for.
That's shocking. You could buy any hope of a sponsorship for TRS from Premier Inn.
Do you know what though? Like, I mean, this is what the Tartan Running Shorts podcast is about, and it always has been, is talking about what happens and things that go right, things that go wrong. A bit of a diary for what, you know, your life, you know, and these are the things you can listen back to. And Lewis, I'm sure, you know, it's the same for you, and it will be the same for you. There you go. But just, I suppose, just looking back, you know, that there has been this, when you do look, there is 222 episodes of content, and a lot of those interviewees, we've talked about it before. We've had some amazing guests on. We've had Liz McColgan, Ailish McColgan. We've had Jasmine Paris has been on when Tartan Running Mums. We've had Mel Edwards, late Mel Edwards. We've had Miles on as well. We've had Brother Colm on.
Brother Colm, that was cool.
That Fraser Klein's been on.
Saying having a coffee with Brother Colm in the Hazelhead Cafe is one of the most surreal memories. Chatting about like the sort of who was he? It was Ruto he was coaching at the time. I think.
Rhodesia, that's right.
He was talking back about Rhodesia. You're right. Yeah, you're right, Lewis.
Yeah,
bizarre.
I was very lucky. I 5 years ago at the Gatimba Edwards Foundation charity do, I was sitting right next to Brother Colm at the main table for a couple of hours.
Ah,
yeah.
Nice.
To get together with his two cousins, both of whom were called Mary, the Irish Marys. And it was a weird evening. And on the other side of me was Dave Moorcroft, you know.
Again,
so I was in royalty.
Oh, that's amazing. They were in royalty. Stories there.
Yeah. Dion Leonard, the author of Finding Gobi, the Lost Dog. Remember that one?
Yeah.
that was funny. That who was the other guy? What was his name? You'll know him. He went to University of Aberdeen, Lewis. Ron Mon.
Ronnie Mon. Oh yeah.
Ronnie Mon, aye. He was on the show.
Ron, I think is he at St Andrews now? Is he a professor of exercise physiology at St Andrews? He was at Loughborough for many years.
Yeah.
And he's one of the world's foremost experts in sports nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fantastic. Great guy. He was a couple of years ahead of me at school.
Yeah.
We used to run a lot at uni.
He
did my first max VO2 test.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, yeah. No.
What did you get in your VO2? What was your max VO2?
Well, my max VO2, this is going to sound really major. It was 77.9.
It was a huge max.
It was the biggest max VO2 that had ever been measured in Aberdeen at the time.
Wow.
And yet I was still a crap runner. it just shows you that you can have a high max VO2, but if you don't have the other essentials like running economy and etc., then it doesn't matter.
There you go. Charlie Spedden, we had him on as well.
That's right. That was a good listen, that one.
Yeah. And lately, Megan Keith as well. We've had her on a couple of times now. And before she was famous.
I think she's been embargoed. Now that she's famous, she's embargoed. I think Ross is embargoed.
I think access to Megan has changed.
Yeah.
I remember when Megan came on and we asked her what her favourite shoe was, and she didn't know what running shoe she ran in. Like that was, just got back from the Euros. I remember thinking, "What? That's like so sweet. That's like just to have that. She loved running. It wasn't something we're swanning, talking about Vaporflies and all that. And it was that's the thing. When we started the podcast, nobody was running in Vaporflies. That dates it a bit.
That's we were talking again about that, your pre PB and your post PB and I can't get a PB even with the shoes on these days.
Yeah,
am I a responder? Maybe I'm not. I think I'm at one of the, what do you call a non-responder, but someone who's not even who's not a non-responder, just a desponder, I don't know what you call it.
Despondent,
that's me.
You think it
that's
makes you worse?
Despondent at how you're running, therefore you blame your shoes, lack of ability to make you faster.
Blame whatever I can these days.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that was just a side note on just some of the things that we've rambled about. And, I encourage, some of the content is kind of timeless in a way. Because we talk to some of these guests and that there's not really any timestamp of them, so absolutely, folks, have a listen to some of the shows, and 99 maybe 98% of the time the audio is pretty good, aside from the first 20
the first two. But it's interesting while we're in reflection mode, so back rewinding back 3-4 years ago, when I remember when putting in a lot of effort, we're scouring who we can get hold of, chasing up people. The two who got away, right? And I think that there's only two people who we've chased for an interview who have said flat no. Laura Muir. And Gemma Rike. Now, I hoped that with the change in coach, that might change. Laura, Gemma, you're not listening. If you are, give us a call. I would definitely come back for that. I think Gemma would be a really good. I think Laura would be an excellent listener, but I'd love to hear from Gemma. She's just so enthusiastic. You know, particularly at the moment, she's in good form. She's been in good place. Yeah, those two. That was a shame. And the other one that I really wanted to. I'm blanking now. Former British Marathon. No, I'm Josh. Going back. Who had the British Marathon?
Steve Jones.
Steve Jones, I've listened to a couple of podcasts from him on different podcasts. Marathon Talk, we won them before they stopped, or they've come back again. Steve Jones is someone I would love to have spoken to. He just but unfortunately not.
Going back to Gemma and Laura, though, they were both in Stockholm yesterday.
They were, weren't they?
Yeah, good segue. Did you watch it?
Absolutely. What
of course you watched it. Yeah.
Well, I didn't see Gemma. So Gemma was on the pre-show, you know. So
what's before, just on that note, what is the pre-show? Because they did that at the Oslo one too.
Yeah. So these are non-Diamond League events that they pad out the program with. So there was a women's 800, there was a men's 800, no, men's 1500, I think, as well, in the pre. But Gemma ran another 1:57 mid, which is not that far off her PB. She won it kind of by about a second, and was in a field that she just ran away from, which was great.
She looked good really, in Eugene, I thought, the week before. I know that Keely was the headline and ran away, but I thought Gemma looked good in Eugene.
Yeah, so she was in Eugene as well and finished third there, didn't she? She was that was a 1:57.4. Although Keely Hodgkinson looked amazing. Yeah. Mary Mora was second in that. But I think though that Gemma doesn't have the same kind of basic 400 meter speed as either Keely, Mary Mora, or Athing Mo. Who are all down about, you know, 51.6 or lower. But what she's got is really good strength. And I mean, she's running the 1500 at the European Championships this week. So she's further developing her strength. And I think that'll come to play, you know, when you've got heats, semis and finals in the Olympics. It's not just a one-off race. You've got accumulated damage to work through, and you know, and you, that's where endurance comes to play. And I think she'll be significantly faster by the time she comes to the Olympics. And then you had Laura. So Laura was in the main program.
I did see that.
Yeah. 3:57.9. You know, kicking away in the last 200, and running very well with our typical kind of frowned kind of face coming around the bend, you know, where the commentator says, you know, and Laura Muir's gritting her teeth, you know.
Yeah, every time on that top bend, every time.
Yeah. Do you know who also was gritting his teeth at that time? I was gritting my teeth. You know why I was gritting my teeth? Because you know what Debbie was doing to me?
Don't tell us.
Yeah, as Louis said, this is a family show, Kyle.
So this is the first time I've ever had this done properly. She was waxing my back.
And,
the Diamond League was on.
Let's get back to Laura Muir.
Backs as far as it goes. There's a three-word saying, but we'll skip that.
Yeah, well, you'll stick that. But back on Laura, more importantly, that's only about what you.
Hey, on that, this is why I'm faster now.
Faster than when?
Oh, yeah,
than when?
Well, yeah. Did you wax your head? I mean, your head does look. It does look quite shiny. You're right.
It does, yeah.
It's the sun. It's the sun. Sunset.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Thought I'd share that with you again.
I would think if you'd waxed your head, we'd be seeing kind of. Red lumps.
on Laura Lewis, and I'm going to dive into some pre-Olympic chat because maybe I'll jump back on for that because I really enjoy our pre championship chats. But Laura, so given fourth in Eugene a couple of weeks ago, there's still time to go. What do you think? Olympic? I mean, she's obviously a championship racer, but Yeah, you know, so do you think she's in a good place form-wise?
I think Laura thinks she's in a good place, and so that's one of the keys. That's so good. I think as an athlete, you need to have the confidence and the belief in your ability. You know, let's face it, the Olympics is likely to be won at least 5 seconds faster than she ran yesterday. You know, likely be, you know, the world record's now 3:49. Faith Kipyegon has not run 1500 or 5k yet. She's not started a season, so we don't really know what shape she's in. But there are two or three girls who are going to run in the low 350s. And, you know, most of them have got kind of amazing strength as well as good closing speed. But, you know, Laura's been, you know, she's been training well. She's coming across well at interviews. She says she's still in a significant training phase and wants to absolutely get it right for the Olympics. And
still 8 weeks to go.
Yeah. Least. So exactly. So she's not peaked yet. And I, you know, I love Laura because of her race face. I think she's a great kind of, you know, showcase for mental preparation and for getting your race face on the line, ready to go. People look at you and think, shit, Laura's in the race and she's looking mean. And you know you're going to have a hard race if she's in it. And so she's the epitome of really good mental preparation. And I think that's what's allowed her to get the best out of herself in recent years, and, you know, particularly her Olympic medal in back in 2021, is that grit and determination that she shows. So I would never write her off. I think the competition is significant, but I think if Laura's in there, she will fight to the very last. So good on her.
Yeah. And what about, I know we're not talking about Scottish athletes in that one, but it's relevant to Scottish athletes, the men's 15, looking at Jakob, who was literally pushed to the line.
Yeah.
That was cracking, wasn't it?
I find the last couple of weeks with Jakob quite fascinating insight into his, what I would call his disturbed personality, because he can't, you know, when he's being interviewed, he's not great at putting a story together. You know that no. Josh Kerr is living rent free in his brain right now, and he tries to say things about Josh without mentioning the word Josh, and he just comes across. Sorry to say, guys, he comes across as a sore loser, a sore winner, and a sore loser.
But you know what? I mean, I'm like any Scottish athletics fan. I'm Team Josh, and it's, I mean, the Eugene race, but that was an amazing race to watch. I mean, just Josh, class act. But I really like. I find myself kind of this weird liking of Jakob. I like the fact that he's a sore loser. I like the fact he's a sore winner. I like the fact that he's just there and we've got this rivalry. It's just brilliant. Like, we've got a pantomime villain. When we had Coleman on the 100 and everyone hated him, and he was, that was not Coleman, sorry, Gatlin, beg your pardon, Gatlin.
Gatlin.
So Gatlin was the ultimate pantomime villain, but we all genuinely hated him, the drugs history. I didn't like the fact he was even elevated to being this pantomime villain. I didn't think he deserved that. But I love the fact that in Scotland anyway, and in Britain actually, that Jakob has become this pantomime villain, that we all hate him. We all dislike him, sorry, because we want Josh to absolutely put the boot into him. I find this rivalry just fascinating. It's just brilliant how, and as you say, how worked up he clearly is about this, and it's only June.
And he's worked up about it, and he tries to tell us he's not worked up about it.
Yeah.
So tell us, come on, Jakob, tell us you're not worked up about it, really.
Yeah.
and he can't.
Josh.
What I find remarkable about Jakob is he was injured. You know, he had a good, decent spell off from injury, and now he's back. Like, you know, okay, he lost, but to come back, you know, from injury and just be the second quickest in that race, 3:46.
You can't write him off.
Like, he's like, and he's, I think is, I mean, we know about kids and stuff. I think he's going to be a father in like a week or something. And
yeah,
like all that stress, tension, and he's traveling.
Not a good time.
It's like the pressure, man. Like, Jesus.
Yeah. He doesn't do that. I mean, he's quite a kind of male dominated character, you know. I think childbirth for him, sadly to say, is for women only, and I suspect raising children will be, because he kind of gave the game away a wee bit about the birth, but also about he'll be training elsewhere in Europe, but he won't be too far away, but he'll be training in another country, you know.
Oh, man.
His priorities are around, you know, the Olympics.
I think his wife was at the pre-meet, wasn't she? So she was traveling.
I don't think that would be the case. I don't think she was.
I think she was. It was Oslo. Yeah, she was at Oslo. Yeah.
Because you can't fly.
That's what I was thinking.
33 or 34 weeks.
But you know, at the same time, I worked offshore for a long time, and colleagues would go home for a birth, be there for 2 weeks, and then be back offshore for 4 weeks. So I don't think it's unrealistic. I say this close, but we're 8 weeks from the Olympics, something like that. I don't think it's unrealistic that he's just not there. Like, I think that he's, let's be honest, he's not. I remember, it's like, I often tell him, someone once said to me, oh, Mo Farah, he ran a marathon PB when he had twins. I'm like, yeah, Mo Farah wasn't changing nappies, I promise you that, or up in the night. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I think it's a fair point, Kyle. It'll be whether it's in his head, the whole, is it life-changing enough? I suspect he'll be there. He'll be there and contending it.
Well, he's physically and physiologically, he is absolutely superb. There's no doubt about that. But his big chink right now that's been exposed is the mental game for him. And you saw how he had to throw himself horizontally across the line to win. You know, I've never seen that before, you know.
No.
I wish I did that. This one regret I have is not doing that in a race, in a track race.
You still can. I'd love to still do time. That.
No, master, imagine me. Imagine
340.
You get a bit of track burn there, I think,
for the
Kyle.
North District title.
I'm not sure how Davey would have to patch you up for that.
You know, on Jakob though. So the fact that he's got an Olympic gold and Josh hasn't, that must play into it. Surely the hunger. I don't care how driven you are, that Josh, that's something he doesn't have. That surely mentally there's a how bad you want it part of it, which for Josh, I don't know. I just wonder whether for Jakob, clearly he's a motivated guy and clearly still motivated, but now motivation is now. Legacy, domination, it's, you know, that back-to-back. Is that the same as winning an Olympic title for the first time?
I think they're different, but I think they can be equally motivating. So you got to find out what motivates you, and it's not the same for everyone. So you motivate yourself to be up for a first Olympic title, but once you've got that, you have to find a different kind of pool. But I think he's got a kind of motivational pool there. And I think part of this rivalry, that's particularly with Josh, but also Jake, you know, flying low under the radar, who beat him 2 years ago. And I suspect there'll be kind of other guys. Did you see Norvin Nordash yesterday? Nordash won the 3K. So he's coached by Jakob's dad. Gert, from whom the rest of the family are not only estranged, but I think there's sort of court proceedings going ahead for various alleged disturbances during adolescence, etc., which we're not going to name on the show. But Norvin Nordash is coached by Gert. And he was a guy who finished third in the Worlds last year, and he was closing all the way to the line and almost beat Ingebrigtsen for second. And that, there's a huge rivalry there, and I suspect significant dislike. So that will also be a factor, because Nordash will be in the Olympics. And the way he finished, I mean, he came from 10th yesterday to first in the last lap over the 3K. with a 53.9 last lap to win in 7:33. And that was pretty significant performance. You know, that's a really pretty good strength. So I think Nordash is only going to get better as well. And I think he'll be one of the outsiders, but big dangers come the Olympics.
What about Timothy Cheruiyot? Is he still, what sort of form is he in?
So, well, Tim Cheruiyot almost beat Ingebrigtsen yesterday. That was why Ingebrigtsen had
to end the dive. Oh, of course,
that
was, yeah.
So it was.
Sorry, I didn't realize that was Cheruiyot. Okay, so, well.
But that's the closest Cheruiyot's come to him for several years. You know, because, so Cheruiyot used to win everything in the same way that Ingebrigtsen did. And then Ingebrigtsen beat him once, then that was it. It was all over. But that's the closest. So that also makes me think that, you know, given that Cheruiyot was that close and he wasn't usually that close in the past, that's what makes me think Ingebrigtsen's maybe it's not all there for him. Kind of, you know, I think he's kind of, in the parlance, he's got a big, what's called move away from, rather than a move towards motivation. You know, he wants, he's moving away from not getting beat by particular individuals, or he's having a bit of a Barney with people, rather than when he was coming up to the top. He just was a bit arrogant and invincible. He didn't care about anybody else. Yeah. He's only started caring about other folks since two Scotsmen beat him. And he's only started belittling the opposition since two Scotsmen beat him. you know.
It'll be exciting to.
Stop what's going on, Kyle.
Aye, it's usually the opposite way around here. what's our money on then for the definitive podium for my Scott?
Oh, I don't. I think Josh is going to be in the frame. Absolutely. I mean, I think it's difficult to say 100%, but I think Josh he'll be in the frame and he'll give it absolutely everything. And if he's there in the final 200, he's going to be really hard to beat. I think Jake's flying under the radar. He's run a 144.800 recently. And
he wasn't. He didn't have a good race yesterday.
Yeah, but if you look, it was a field of about 10 folk. He didn't get out fast enough. He was about eighth or ninth at the bell. He was coming round the field, and he's still wrong 144. But yeah, you're right. He didn't have the best of races tactically, but that's over 800, and he is running 800 at the European Championships next week to hone his speed. So I think that basically he's got great speed over 800, and if he can get his 1500 strength right, then in a kick, you know, if there's a bit of a kick there, then he can be in the field. He's a different kind of runner to Jake and Jakob. You know, Jakob's the kind of endurance-based 1500 5k runner who's double Norwegian double threshold sessions. Josh is he's got a good range. He's got a better range he's got a good range over 800. He runs a reasonable 5k. Clearly, nowhere near as fast as Jakob, but he's run a mean enough half marathon at 62 minutes as well. So Josh is kind of like he's a 1500 meter runner. He's got a good touch of speed, but also really good endurance. Jake is much more of the old fashioned 815 guys, who's not that great over 5k. You know, he can stretch it to 3k a bit with a 7:37 indoors, but he's got a super fast 800 compared to the other guys. So if he can just get that, you know, keep his speed, but just get the strength there, then I think he could be dangerous. And then we've got Neil Gourlay. Sorry, the name, his surname just escaped me there. Neil ran, you know, at the pre-meeting, a big PB over the mile, 3:47, And he's been injured for quite some time. You know, he had I think it was a couple of stress reactions or bone reactions that kept him out. And as Tom and I were speaking about, you know, earlier in the show, he did an awful lot of biking. Tom, he did a lot of biking in his rehab, and he was doing double threshold sessions on bikes.
On the bike, wow.
On the bike to, you know, and prior to pre, I think he'd been running properly for about 6 weeks, you know, in terms of sessions. So Neil's actually got quite a good kit. And if you watch him in the race, in the pre-race, you know, his second half was probably faster than these other guys. He closed really well. But the British Championships, the UK Championships, which is in a month, well, less than a month's time, it's 29th and 30th of June, it's going to be pretty amazing to see. Although Josh will not be running the 1500. He's only going to run the 800 there because he's basically going to be selected. So it's going to be a first two past the post. So normally it's first two past the post plus the discretionary pick. But hey, if you ain't in the first two in the UK 1500 on the 30th of June, you ain't going to the Olympics.
Wow. Yeah. That's that adds a bit of tension to it. That's cool.
Yeah.
And pressure.
Yeah.
And then you got, you know, Elliot Giles. You know, he's close to 3:30. He's run 1:44. He's going to be in the frame. We've probably got about six or seven 1500 meter runners that could be there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
So when is the British trial again?
29th and 30th of June.
Cool. I look forward to listening to the TRS preview of the or review of the British chat. Are you going, Lewis?
I will be there.
Very good.
Yeah,
there you go, Kyle.
I'm just waiting for my coach's certificate to get in. I've applied for it.
Is it Manchester again?
It's in Manchester again. Yeah.
Nice, sports city. Nice. Cool.
Hey,
very good.
Hey, so talking to a major championship that's upcoming to a championship that took place at the weekend, the European Off-Road Championship. So, Lewis, over to you again. You've had some linked interest in this one, so tell us about the so event, which was France.
It was in Annecy in France. Yeah. Annecy in France. So the weather was appalling through the week. The races on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You know, the uphill only for, you know, men and women and the under 20s on Friday. And then there was a long trail race, which was about 60K on the Saturday for men and women. And then the men's and women's and under 20s uphill and downhill on the Sunday. So my personal interest there was for Naomi Lang, whom I've coached for quite some time. And Naomi had a stunning run, really, to finish fifth. And
amazing.
She was 10th at the top of the hill. And she's a fabulous downhiller, and she took five places off coming down. So, I mean, it was really good. And, you know, Scout Atkin was the first British counter ahead of her. She was fourth. Scout was second in the uphill only race as well.
Along with
her brother Jacob, not Jacob, but Jacob.
Jacob.
and both
of whom have had their time on the podcast, a double Atkin.
They have indeed,
show it was.
Yeah. So they both got double silvers. The British teams, you know, won various medals. So the women's up and downhill team got the gold medal, which was fabulous. The great packing. And there was I'm going to mention a young lad. I don't directly do his physical coaching, but we did some sessions on mental preparation and mental rehearsal and working out, you know, just a mental strategy for what to say, what to visualise, what to do, going up the hill and down, you know, when the going was getting tough. And that's Angus Wright. And Angus finished seventh in the under 20s up and downhill, first Brit.
Good. It's amazing.
So that was a really good performance from him.
So it was, we had some other interest, did we? Like some the longer distances. I don't know. I haven't actually seen the results yet.
So on the Saturday was the Trail Champs at Georgia Tindley and Merrill Cooper. And
Merrill was out there.
Yeah.
Was really kind of difficult conditions.
The weather was shite.
And well, it had been. So it kind of played a wee bit of habit with the the weather was okay during the races, but I think it had created some challenges prior to the races. And, you know, a bit of the uphill, downhill race had to be kind of changed at the last minute because some of it was unsafe. So Georgia Tindley and Merrill Cooper were 39th and 43rd, respectively, in the, I think, 60K trail event. Really, really kind of tough challenge.
Ah, that's still always good to don the GB vest on, eh? So,
absolutely.
Good stuff. Well, brilliant. So there's lots of things happening, lots of things about to happen. And I think that gives us a little race pick and mix there. Eh? Is there anything else we want to chat about before
I just wanted to make a brief mention just last week. Miles Edwards and I, we had an invite to the Green Runners. Have you heard of the Green Runners?
They're a hipster group, right? You're not hip enough to run with the Green Runners, Lewis. Surely not. Nor is Miles, for the record.
They came in all the gear. You know, so they're based in the Contour Cafe, and Liam Urquhart kind of is a manager there, and he's basically runs the green runners, and they meet up at the Contour Cafe, and they all change in the one toilet there by the look of it.
I do know who the Green Runners are because I messaged them. I slid my DM into them to tell them about Scottish Running Week, and I've yet to receive a reply. So
they were really very, very welcoming. So Miles and I went and did a couple of talks. So Miles spoke about, you know, his start in running and what he's done for him, a bit of the foundation work, and also about his recent marathon prep, and I spoke about the kind of mental prep for a marathon. So it was a really good event. There was a big turnout, and they all went for a run afterwards, including Miles, but excluding me, as I hived on back up the road to Spey Bay. it was getting late and near my bedtime.
Well, I've got 10 minutes to my bedtime, so that's interesting. Well, I'd be, if they ever get back to me, I'd be keen to hear about their club. Maybe they don't know the link between tartan running shorts, but Lewis, maybe you can hook me up or slide into their DMs, and they may or may not have the opportunity to tell us about their club.
That would be good. I'm sure I can organize a connection there.
Yeah, there we go. Brilliant.
That's cool.
Well, Tommy,
it's great to see more groups actually popping up in Aberdeen. That's really great, really is.
Yeah. So Tommy, I see your eyes are, there's a wee glisten there since we're coming to the end of the show.
I just received, my sister has just messaged me. She's had a baby about an hour ago, and she just sent me a photo.
Oh, amazing.
That's exactly why that happened, Kyle, because I've just seen the photo of it appear. So that's.
I didn't even know. I just made that up. I didn't actually know you had a wee.
Send
my love to Helen then.
I will send it on. So yeah, that's lovely news.
You still recorded the show, eh?
She lives down in London. I wasn't aware that she was having a baby today. So I knew it was happening this week. So it was.
Look at that. See, the day of. The first Uncle day of Scottish Tom. Running Week.
Uncle Tom, yeah. Uncle Tom. But it was better ramp up at 9 o'clock, let everyone get their dinner. Yeah.
Nine o'clock, eh? And but you know, like we Tommy's not, you're not going anywhere, you're still here. It's we made a pact that you would see each other more so in real time than actually offline. So let's make sure that's because, you know, I think that was one of the things, hey, you know, we're talking, we feel like we catch up every week, yet you don't have that connection in person. So
what exactly? So that will be very good. But I will be an avid. I will become a listener of TRS moving forward, which I'm excited to do. And honestly, joking aside, I'm very. You know me. I found the last year or two up and down with in terms of enthusiasm, but when there's championships coming up, that's when I get very, very excited. I'm not. So I'm very much looking forward to hearing what you guys talk about as we head towards Paris and afterwards. Oh, that's cool.
Looking what forward to see what Lewis talks about.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Splaring out here. Oh, yeah. Dear. Anyway, I share too much on the podcast.
I'll keep you abreast of my running plans if I do manage to start stringing a block together for a race. I think I'm going to do the Great Scottish, by the way. So if I can start stringing some stuff together, I'll be in touch with you both to get some advice and maybe share with you how it's going.
That'd be great. All right. Well, on that note, folks, if you do want to get in contact with us, you can get us on our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can slide into our DMs there. You can get us on tartanrunningshorts@gmail.com. I can't get into the emails, by the way, in case anyone has replied. So I might have to find it. Get the code off you, Tommy.
Do you know what? I should actually hand... That's another part of this handover is I need to give you... I think my phone is the two-factor authentication on the TRS account. I should probably sort that out.
Pain in the arse, that is. Yeah. Anyway, we'll do that offline, eh? And if you do, you're listening to this and you want to get and take part in Scottish Running Week and raise funds for a worthy cause that runners should all pay it forward in that respect, feel free to get involved, find out how you can on scottishrunningweek.com. On that note, Tommy, I see you soon. And Lewis, I want to talk to you offline about my medical issue. If that's okay, although I'm still
recording. As long as you don't show me any pictures, that'll be okay.
Debbie's waxed his back too hard, Lewis.
It's not my rash in the back,
no more, please, come on.
All right, folks, here's Alan McIver.
Yeah, thank you.
You have to change the theme tune as well. Your name's on it. I'm going to change the
You need to get Alan McIver to re-record it. Now
if you listen to this, which I highly doubt, we'll pay you in the forms of Tartan Running Shorts to get a cheeky wee audio redone, no doubt. That'd be amazing. Anyway, I'll leave it to you folks. Night. See ya.
That's a wrap.